and the retirement system has received a copy of a document, and all salaries that might be used, the maximum they can achieve in an imputed salary increase for that time is 6%. The minimum in some cases in Southern Oregon for a 12-month employee, it would be down 1.4% is all they would get. So it's all calculated. Nobody is getting more than 6% approximately. I think I'd be happy. This is a matter, we believe, of simple fairness, not to penalize those persons who did in good faith on the representations that they had received, that proper action will be taken to hold them harmless from further penalty because of the budget cuts that we've been through in the last couple of years. I'd be happy to answer any questions, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks. And Bob, where are we on the catch-up money?
The catch-up money is, you mean the restoration? Back, yeah. It's all budgeted in the budgets as they are being passed out of Ways and Means, and that will take place. So it's just this one.
Then the salary issue for that, for this fiscal year that we're talking about, if they're restored, then they got their raise anyway.
Yeah, they got a year later.
Well, but then it would be credited back to them.
No. If I could go to the board, Mr. Chairman.
We got something to write with on the board.
One third of state employees didn't take the pay cut. That's one of the reasons retirement has such a hard time understanding what the real reason for this. They didn't take a pay cut there.
They won't understand. Yeah, but Bob, they don't have the problem because they didn't take the cut. If the ones that took it get theirs back, then they don't have a problem.
And they'll never get the salary that they lost back. In 1982-3, and then on out into 87, we have here at July 1, these are July 1s. You have someone who has worked for the state of Oregon for 20 years. Normal time for retiring, normal, usually is most advantageous to state employees to retire on December 31st, usually, not always. Someone, and I've had several letters addressed to the governor that we've drafted response, someone who did retire. Remember here, now we got the budget cuts right here. We had pay approved. Coming back in here, there was an increase, and there were various step increases going up through this fiscal year. And then, of course, this is all question marks. Someone who retires at this date, let's take this date. This is December 31st, 83-84, December 31st, 1983. He retires on this date, his last day of work. He will use, for calculation of retirement benefits, usually, the average of his highest 3 years of salary, which will be 1983, 82, and 81. And they divide by three. That is his average salary for computation retirement benefits that he will receive for 10 or 15 years. But a funny thing happened. During 12 months of those three calendar years, he lost 6% of his gross pay. He'll never get that 6% back. It's gone. But if this bill is not passed, he will not only have lost that 6% pay during the 82-3 fiscal year, he will have his retirement pay for the rest of his life decreased by about 2% because a full year's salary was reduced.
But Bob, how can you say he lost it when they're going to get it back?
They'll never get this 6% back, and that is the year that has to be used for calculation of his final average salary.
Now, as I understand it, it takes $20.7 million to catch them up to, for that time, and then 40 more to carry it out in through the next biennium.
No, the 27, it is the 60 million you're talking about is the just the biennial cost, not only of the 20.7, but also the increases that were made gradually in the first year of the biennium. We have for several biennia had stair steps during the biennium as people move up.
Bob, wouldn't it be fair if we are going to concede this, which certainly the equity question is there, to ask them to contribute to the fund at a 6% rate on what they, I mean, do you want the benefit that they would have gotten, but they didn't pay on that 6%, and the employer didn't contribute on that?
The employer did not pay, that's true.
And neither did the employee.
The employee would not have in any case. State employees do not pay
right.
in the retirement system
okay.
anymore.
So since we're the state employees, it's a wash. All right. Any other questions?
The cost, there is a new cost estimate by retirement system that I have just looked at briefly, and it roughly is about $100,000 a year out over 20 years, as I remember it. It is such an infinitesimal amount you can't find it in employer retirement rates. It's been the advice even when on their preliminary when they first calculated it, when it was a higher amount per year. As of this moment, I have no way of knowing. Perhaps Jerry Lieberts, he could tell you how many people retired from state service December 31st approximately, or in some time in the past, or since December 31st, and you multiply that by three and then divide, take about two-thirds of that number, and I assume that would be about the number of people that would be affected.
Okay. Bob, how much is in the catch-up total? 60 million.
That's what we calculated originally when the issue first came up, Mr. Jones. That's about what, you know, if we could go back to the start of 81-83, and it isn't just to July 182, isn't it? You'd have to go back to July 183.
Oh, I know. I yeah. understand that it's again, we saved $20.7 million.
That's correct.
And we're giving that back to them plus 40. Because that level of salary is carried out over the rest of this new biennium, 63-65 biennium.
So I think so, the point, Denny, is looking at a person who, I guess, December 30, January 1, 87 is a break date. Someone who retires the day before that versus the day
after that.
That.
I understand that.
They've got to include this short year versus somebody having three full years to work into that average, which will be a 2% penalty for life. Yes, Ron.
Bob, quick teacher's summary. We asked people to take a 6% cut for 1 year.
Yes, sir.
That money they'll never see.
That's correct.
Even with the catch-up, they will never see that money.
Yes, sir.
However, for those people that retire during this age span, if we don't enact this bill, they will also be penalized 2% per year for all of their years of retirement.
Yes, sir.
Which could add up, in most instances, would add up to many, many times the amount that they lost for that one pay cut that they took that 1 year.
That's
Yeah. Other questions? Yes, ma'am.
Who promised this retribution? Who talked about this in the original when that was done?
I know that Senator Day was quite active in trying to get the governor to support him, to get the leadership to accept such a bill for that one-day special session. The governor refused. There was representations made to us and the governor at that time, last summer, before the session, when everyone knew, yeah, we're going to take a pay cut, that, well, hey, how about the retirees that are going to be affected? And we will. We won't do it in the special session. We got to get in and get out. But the governor guarantees you he will see if the appropriate legislation is introduced. We all know that he can't guarantee legislation will be passed. But he certainly knows that. But the item, I'm not going to speculate if it brought up in special session, whether it had been passed or not. My personal hunch is it would have been, because no one that I ever talked to on balancing the budget for this biennium intended to penalize retirees for the rest of their life. That I ever talked to.
Has this bill been anyplace else?
Yes, it was in the Banking Committee in the Senate Joyce Collins Committee.
We had several hearings and considerable, I'm a member of that committee, we had considerable discussion on it.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Ken and Jerry?
Mr. Chairman, Ken Mall, Jerry Leibitz from PERS. I don't know that we have anything significant to add to Mr. Smith's testimony. You have the, I believe we've revised the cost estimate today downward, and Kay has those numbers. Do you have anything to add, Jerry?
Mr. Chairman, I think that last night at our meeting, I think you remember, I made a statement that I think that when injustices are done, they should be corrected, and I think that this is a typical case. To make an analogy, is my understanding that members of the House and the Senate receive the same salary. What happened in that particular case is if the House took a cut and the Senate did not, then when they retired, the House would suffer a loss for the rest of their lifetime. And the Senate would not. And that's what happened in state agencies. But if people retiring out there that held the same job, the same salary, but because one was a clerk two in this office, a clerk two in this office, one would get a decreased amount for the rest of their life. And I think that would be an injustice.
Jerry, last night you also said, or one of the three of you said, that it's bad policy not to make changes in your basis and your expectations for the fund without funding them. Does that rule also apply to this, or can we just let this little one slide and be made up for the by the rate change to the state?
Mr. Chairman, we have costed the funding out of this. It cost $118,000 for the biennium, so we knew what the cost would be.
Yeah, no, but that we wouldn't be appropriating that money. What we could do is you'd be getting it through a base change for the state.
Well, we could not change the employer's rate, because if we change it from 12.17 would have to change to 12.17001 or something along that line. It would to get that much money out of a payroll of $800 million would be, you couldn't raise it that much.
Okay, so this will just, when you do the next rate adjustment for the state, this will be one
correct
minor effect.
That's
all
correct.
Right. Danny?
Okay. Yeah, from my standpoint, the only justification for this is that some had to take a cut last year and the others didn't. And the ones like the touches of the highway division that were on dedicated funds didn't take any cut. And the others, of course, took a deferred. It wasn't a cut, it was a deferred payment of what they was supposed to get on the contract. And certainly it's unfair for the highway division as an example to get a benefit that the others didn't get simply because we didn't take control of the dedicated funds that were paying the highway division, uh-huh, which we should have. I mean, but then that's neither here nor there. But from my standpoint, that's it would be unfair to nick one group, not the other. I'd like to nick them all if we could. Didn't get that done, so
there. Craig? Yeah, that certainly is the major justification, Denny, but there is one other justification, and that is that we need to treat the person who retires in 1985 and the person who retires in 1988 level also, and without this bill, the one will have, in effect, taken maybe 10 times as much of a cut. When you compound the impact of that one-year cut, then the guy who retires late enough to where he can count 3 years of full pay as his base years.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if I might respond to that. Up till now, I have no problem with it, because we did this to part of the executive department, talked them into taking the deferral. But now from here on out, nobody knows what's going to happen. And there may never be another raise. So, you know, so we're just talking about, or I'm talking about, from the injustice that could be done to the ones in the past. I'm not worrying about the one going out, the rest of the vine is tall. Whatever happens to them will happen. If they get more money, then their average salary will be more. If they stay right where we are now, which there's been no increases so far in this legislature,
yeah,
we don't know what's going to happen.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I took the information over the phone from this fiscal impact statement, and I think it should be 0.0001. Is that correct?
Or 0.01%.
0.01%. Okay, that's what I do have. Okay.
The actual cost is 0.00007 in the fifth decimal place. So we round that
round
up.
Round it up to 0.0001.
So it's probably as small a cost as we could produce.
Well, yeah, I need to revise that.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Who are the certain state employees? Give me an example of an agency.
Well, the executive department, I did take a pay cut there. All the printers took a 6% pay cut last July 1st. But the
legislators.
Legislators, yeah, all elected people took a flat 6. But the state agencies, I think it's easier to say the ones that did not. And those are the classic, funded with some outside the general fund source.
Right.
It's the highway division, medical department,
right,
retirement, employment division. If you're a little bit pregnant, if you have a little general fund or indirectly have general fund like general services, you took it. In the executive department, we have pure federally financed functions in the executive department. They took the pay cut, because I'm not going to have people in the same department. So it's, if the agency, the whole agency, had any little bit in there, everybody did their fair share. And if the agency was all pure away from the general fund, then they weren't affected. And it's roughly 2/3 state employees were negatively affected. 1/3 were not.
Okay. A few years back, your actuary isn't here. I might have to give him a problem to work on if he would accept it. But I sold a piece of property at 7.5% interest in the private sector. Wasn't that too bad? Interest now is double that. And last year was double that, and the year before. No one is coming to my assistance to be fair with me, and I can't help but mention that. Is this something that we owe everyone that is a state employee? I presume it is. And isn't that nice? But no one is coming to my rescue. I would wonder if we actuarially did that. It was several dollars, you know. What I would suffer over those periods of years would be astronomical, maybe. Or maybe just 0.007 or something, as you described. But it does give you something to think about when you talk about fairness. And I could pose some more questions. Maybe I will at a later date, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, we'll bring this back to the work session and your questions. Several years ago, I brought up this property at 8%. I'm very glad nobody's going to Benjamin Franklin and suggesting that talk about it.
Benjamin is just on the verge.
Mr. Chairman, don't bat your eye or they'll...
That's right. Yeah. One payment I don't miss. Thank you, John. Dennis Hayden. I, for life of me, have no idea what AE stands for. American Electrical Engineers. Association of Elevated Evangelical.
I'm Dennis Hayden, Salem, Oregon. I'm the retirement chairman of the Association of Engineering Employees of Oregon. And basically, we were of the highway division. However, we do represent some people in the Parks Department, which is general fund, and also a few people in the Forestry Department, which is general fund. As a highway employee, we were one of the fortunate ones and didn't have to take this reduced pay. We got our raises as scheduled. The people in the Parks Department, as being under general funds, and the Forestry Department, and other state employees were not that fortunate. And true, in some aspects, they didn't take a pay cut, except that there was a signed contract that they were supposed to have a pay raise, and they never received those. I think that this bill is a good bill. I think it takes care of some of the injustice. Those people that didn't get their pay raises will never get that money back again. Their salaries will be elevated up to what they would have been if the pay cuts had not, as of July 1st, providing all the budgets are passed and signed. But I believe that this is a fair thing for those that have retired as of last December or during the last after the pay increases that they didn't get, and for those in the future that will retire, because this was a signed contract, it was promised to them, and then it was a mutual agreement, and one of the reasons a mutual agreement is either threat of you take a pay cut or you're going to be, a lot of you will be laid off, and it was kind of in lieu of the threat of a layoff that they agreed to take the pay cut. I think Representative Simpson's case that he's talking about his interest on his piece of property, if he'd have had a person sign a note for 10% and then reneged on the 10% and only were paying 7.5%, then I think he would have just cause and he would have went to court about it. But this is a similar type situation. Our organization supports this bill wholeheartedly, and it's just one of those things that I think that needs to be passed.
Any questions? Dennis? Thanks for coming. Okay, we'll close the hearing then on Senate Bill 114, put that for work session next week. Go on to Senate Bill 137.
It's there.
This is one.
Is that in?
Okay. Ken, do you want to lead off? Jerry?
Mr.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Ken Mall, Deputy Director of PERS, Jerry Liebertz, our Assistant Director of Operations. Senate Bill 137 is the board-sponsored housekeeping measure to do a number of items. We have a confusion with respect to parole probation officers who once were under state employment. That function in the last session, the legislature was transferred back to the counties, and they lost their designation as or qualification for the police and fire retirement benefit, and this would restore that to those people. Because of that provision, that does produce a minor cost for the bill. The other amendments, other corrections, do not have a cost impact. There are a number of items. We can go through them one by one, if you would like.
This bill has been for banking, is that correct?
I believe so. I believe it's referred from that committee here.
Why don't you briefly run us through?
Okay. It has been amended as I think May 13th is the amendment by higher ed to amend the exclusions for inclusion in salary. They have a payment that they would make exclusive of payments for forfeiture, and they offer one other amendment for people who are who work in excess of full-time employment. Jerry, you might elaborate on what I believe those were offered by Bill Lemon from higher ed.
In this bill, what we hope to do is to better define salary. We have by administrative rule determine what should be included as salary and what should not be included as salary to determine final average salary. Travel pay should not be included, safe benefits should not be included, and then we came to these balloon payments that we spoke to last night that could really have an effect on final average salary. And there were some of these payments that we said that they would no longer be eligible. Accelerated payments of a contract, you could not pay take a contract that had 8 months to go and pay it off ahead of time just to improve that salary. And these were the changes we made. This is already in the administrative rules. The two we added was one was the exclusion of payments to forfeit tenure. There were some college professors, if I remember correctly, that had promised to retire. And in order to do that, what they did is they gave up tenure. And therefore, they gave them an increase, a salary increase for the last 3 or 4 years on the basis that they had to retire. And they did retire, so they did give up their tenure, which they could have kept the tenure and then just stayed on the payroll forever. The higher education thought that this was a means of saving higher education some money and also increasing the benefits for the employees. And this was a correct, this was an amendment that was, this is the amendment that Ken is talking to in here, and it was put in.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
Isn't this really accepting higher education from the provisions of F?
Mr. Chairman, yes, it is.
It's saying that other retirement severance pays, bonuses, or gratuitous payments will not be included for purposes of salary, with the exception of these payments to professors, academics that are. It doesn't say academics. There could be tenure, perhaps, also in other
fields.
In other fields, but. It would accept any payment made for a person forfeiting tenure and therefore either quitting or retiring early.
That's right.
So it is an exception. I did want to point that out.
That's correct.
Where are you seeing that?
Well, it's complicated because
right.
This is not an engrossed bill.
All right. Okay.
Okay, so
that's good enough.
You will find it on the amendments in page 1, line 12, where it says after incentive, insert exclusive of payments to forfeit tenure.
Mr. Chairman, in response to Representative Simpson, we already exclude retirement incentive pay, retirement severance pay, retirement bonuses, or retirement gratuitous payment. And now what higher education says, but do not exclude a payment to forfeit tenure. And it would probably fit one of those four.
Are you waiting for, Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead.
Are you waiting for someone to suggest that you change that, or are you going to make the suggestion? Or do you think that, is this again, are we talking about what's fair now?
Mr. Chairman, as far as I'm just explaining
yes,
the bill
okay.
the way it is.
All right.
I have no comment on it.
But again, if a person was to make an inquiry to the PERS, do you have any suggestions to assist the system in being more effective for its retirees, or more some other way to make it to work better for everyone rather than a select few or something like that? Would you have a suggestion as to how we might change that?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Simpson, when the staff made up this administrative rule, we did not have this in there. We did not feel it necessary.
Yeah.
The State Board of Higher Education introduced it as an amendment.
Ken, when this for state employees exclusive to higher education, weren't there programs last year to try to get them to retire early, as opposed, was there any retirement incentive?
I think the school districts had programs such as that. I'm not aware of.
I thought when Bob was in here a few minutes ago, he said that they tried to help get people to retire.
I heard him say that too. Apparently, there were some people who were very close, and
they didn't move them up a year. Say, we'll take you up to 59 scale.
No, there's no way to give credit, but apparently, people who were already eligible.
I gotcha. Okay.
Representative Bauman, these payments are outside of PERS. These incentive pay programs are outside of PERS.
Right.
They're not in PERS.
Gotcha.